Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1 this morning. Hallelujah. And at the same time, you can also open up to the book of Matthew chapter 1 and John chapter 1 as well. So I'm giving you three this morning. Not just one, but three. So some of you look a little bit confused. How do you open up to three different passages this morning? You can use the app right there on the app. You can follow along the app, and the app, you know, you will be able to see my notes, and I preach pretty much from this as well, and that gives you the outline of where I'm heading this morning, and you can see all three of those scriptures out there as well. So that was my little commercial for our church app. So if you haven't downloaded that thing, please do so. Last week we talked about an appointed time. God has got an appointed time for everything that he does, right? And sometimes those appointed time that he sets aside, he doesn't really check in with us on those times, right? And sometimes we call those appointed times as interruptions, where God comes in and interrupts the flow of our day, interrupts the flow of our agenda, of whatever we wanted to do. He comes in, and not maliciously or anything like that. He does it on purpose for a specific reason. So, but on Friday, I had one of those interruptions. Early in the morning, I'm up and preparing the message, this message or today's message. And as I'm preparing, I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to bring in the message, right? And that's my normal process is preparing for this service. God interrupted that. God was giving me not this week's service or this week's message, but the following week's message. And as all any child of God would do, I threw a fit. A holy fit. A holy hissy fit. And I was like, Lord, that's not the way I operate. It's Friday morning, and I need to know the word for today. And guess what? The hissy fit did not work very well. Peace was not here. I didn't feel it. It was not until I said those words, yes, yes, Lord. When I said, yes, Lord, guess what? Peace came. I was settled in my spirit. I knew that this is exactly what I was supposed to do. So the title of our message this morning is what? Yes, yes, Lord. Is us saying yes to God. Sometimes it's hard to actually say yes to God. Because when we say yes to God, it requires us to get out of this comfort, this comfortable place, this already pre-planned agenda. Because we got life mapped out, right? We kind of know where we're heading, what we want to do, how we want to operate. And when God brings in those interruptions, he's expecting us to respond in such a way. Yes. Yes, Lord. So this is where we're going to land this morning. And I believe yes is probably one of the most powerful words that we can have in our vocabulary. Yes. It's just such a powerful thing. When we say yes to God, we can see doors being unlocked. When we say yes to the right thing, right? When we say yes to God, And also when we say yes to many other things as well that are right. I still remember the time when I proposed. I remember the time when I proposed. She had no idea that this was there until this morning. This is actually me proposing. Proposing to Dawn. And I got down. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the day, I still remember, it was July. Still remember. July 22nd, 1999. Right? Did I get that right? Did I get that right? July 22nd, 1999. And guess what? She said yes. She said yes. I mean, there was all the thought bubbles there, but she said yes. And guess what? A year later, June 17th. See, I got that one right. June 17, 2000, we actually got married. We got married right there at ORU. And we both said yes. Now, the yes was, you know, when at the moment when you say yes in that time is a yes. Yes, because you're excited, right? Well, those of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about. You're excited to say yes. But you're also saying yes by faith. You're saying yes because you are trusting God in that unity. Because by you saying yes, it's not just you two coming in agreement. You bringing God along with this agreement. And you're saying yes along with God. So when you say your vows, they are not complete without that word. Yes. In fact, I wrote this down when normally when I would perform a wedding ceremony, I would say those words. Do you vow here? I would ask that question. Do you vow here as you have promised? See, that's jogging some memories right now for those who are married. Do you vow here as you have promised that you will be true and loyal? Patient in sickness, comforting in sorrow, forsaking all others, keeping yourself only unto him. And then I will repeat the same for her as well. As long as you both shall live. Right? So what I'm expecting out of that question is a resounding what? Yes. Yes, I do. Without this yes or yes, I do, there is no completion of that ceremony. So you're looking for this yes. The word yes not only unlocks the door to God's blessing, but the word yes also locks the door to whatever the enemy has. It's not just saying yes to God by unlocking the door to blessing. But by saying yes to God, you are also locking the door to any other possibilities that is out there. So you're locking everything that the enemy might use, any avenue, any doors that the enemy might use to bring in destruction in your life. So yes is a very powerful, powerful word. Yes was also a powerful word in the Christmas story. Without a yes there's no Christmas. This is how important the word yes is. Mary had to say yes. In Luke 1, chapter 38, chapter 1, verse 38, it says, "So Mary said, 'Yes, I am a servant of the Lord.'" Very powerful right here. The yes here is not only saying yes in agreement, it's a yes bringing in a spirit of humility. "Yes, I am a servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to" what? "According to your word. According to what you've said." Then the angel departed from her. Mary did not understand the process. She had no clue how God was going to do it. But she said yes by faith. She said yes because she trusted in God. Joseph said yes. In Matthew 1:24, when Joseph awoke from his sleep. Isn't that crazy? Dude was actually sleeping. I mean, this is like a lot of guys, you know, we can attest to this. In important times, guess what we do? We're taking a nap. We take a nap. In fact, when Isaiah was born, you know, it was a long process, labor. I actually fell asleep during that process. I mean, it was peaceful. It was calm. I felt the presence of God in that room. So while everything was happening in the background, I was actually asleep. The doctor, when he walked in, he actually, are you going to wake up? "It's showtime," is what he said. And I was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I believe this is what Joseph experienced here. He awoke from his sleep, and guess what? He did what the angel of the Lord said. He did exactly. See, sometimes our yes is not just a verbal acknowledgement and saying yes. Yes is also doing. He did. So we got to give Joseph a little bit of credit because he did. He responded with a yes by doing exactly what the angel of the Lord was saying. Now, did Joseph fully understand the process? He's a guy. He had no clue. He doesn't fully understand how God was going to do it. He understands the process naturally, but he doesn't understand the process spiritually. He doesn't fully understand what God is going to do with him and his wife. He had no idea, but he said yes by faith. He said yes because he trusted the word of God. He trusted that word. Now, many times we stop with a Christmas story with just Mary and Joseph, right? But there's also a third character in this Christmas story. I would say it's probably the main character of the Christmas story. It's Jesus. Because without Jesus, there is no Christmas. He's the reason for the season, right? That is why we're celebrating Christmas. Is Jesus, that third character in that Christmas story, is Jesus. Did you know that even Jesus had to say yes? He wasn't just a man and a woman saying yes to God, but God himself had to be in agreement, had to be in unity with the process of what's going to unfold. Without God saying yes, it might as well be a no. You need God's agreement. You need God's validation that stamp of approval before you move forward with whatever God is trying to do. This is the most profound or the most important yes of the whole entire Christmas story. Jesus said yes right from the beginning of time. He said yes way back in creation. Way back in creation in the book of Genesis, Jesus said yes. The word yes with God symbolizes unity. Jesus was in unity with the Father. Jesus was in unity with the Holy Spirit. He was united with the Father. He was united with the Holy Spirit throughout the entire process of creation. And we read about this in the book of Genesis. And we see that same unity being expressed in the Gospel of John. When we read, John takes it from a totally different angle from all the other gospel in terms of the birth of Christ. John displays it from a symbolic perspective. His yes was a unified statement where we could see the unity being displayed throughout creation. In John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And that Word there is Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. He said, the Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Powerful. The yes here to creation is him saying yes to humanity. Jesus said yes to humanity. He said yes to the darkness of humanity. And his yes here was not a random statement. His yes here was a calculated one. He thought the whole thing through. That's why the very mess in our life, that darkness in our life, they don't scare Jesus. It doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to him if the mess in your life, whether it's in the past, whether it is in the present, or whether it is in the future, it does not trouble God. It does not trouble Jesus. He said yes to our humanity. He said yes to our darkness. But his yes was not just a yes so that you can remain in darkness. His yes was a way out of darkness. His yes was to pave the way for man to find the light of God. That's why he came as light in the darkness. Because he knew exactly what he was signing up for. Right from the beginning of time in the book of Genesis. Because when we read the Christmas story, we think that it isn't a New Testament thing. But the Christmas story started way back in the book of Genesis. When Jesus himself became unified. As the Word of God being unified with the Father. As being unified with the Holy Spirit. That symbolic yes resounded from the very first time when sin came. Jesus responded to the darkness of humanity by saying, Father, you send me. You send me. I can fix it. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to a dark world. He came to bring light, to restore order when there was chaos. That's the reason why Jesus came. Jesus said yes to bringing light to the darkness of our world. In verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. When God is seeing the darkness in your life and He's bringing light, He's saying the darkness that is outside of you now, because I'm bringing light to your life, that darkness that is outside, you can never extinguish the light that I have in you. I want you to catch this morning. It's very important that we realize that the light of God that is in us, in you, in me, is enough. It's enough to drive out any spirit of darkness wherever you go. It's not like it's just in you. You can walk up into a room and that light that is inside of you can light up that room. Can expose the darkness area, the darkest area of that room, because there is a light that is inside of you. That light came not just to visit. That light came to abide, to live, to establish kingdom, rule, and reign inside of you. If you've invited Jesus in your life, you've invited light into your life. It's here to stay. It's here to stay and never to depart. Jesus said yes to humanity, to mankind. And He said yes to Him making His home in us, among us. In verse 14, He says, so the Word became human. Isn't that a very powerful statement? The Word became human. That same Word that set everything into motion in the beginning of time that we read about in the book of Genesis. That Word became a human being. That is the most powerful thing that we can have about Christmas. That's the most powerful thing about Christmas. Is God became a human being. God became a man. And He made His dwelling, His home among us. You know, that same God that said yes to humanity had to submit Himself to a process. He had to submit all that He was, all that He is in terms of God, to the frailty of humanity. He had to put aside His divinity to embrace His humanity so that He can understand our issues, so that He can understand our messes. And He needed to do that. He had to submit Himself to the process. Not just the process of time. The process of humanity itself. When He came on the scene, the world was not a very pretty place for Him. He came on the scene in the nation of Israel, where they were occupied by the Roman Empire. They were occupied. They were under some foreign rule in their own country. So He had to submit to that humanity aspect of society of the time. He had to submit to the process of birth. He had to surrender everything about him as a God and made himself, or humble himself, and became a man so that he can identify with humanity. The prophet Isaiah says it, carries that word that was spoken from the beginning of time. He carried that word in terms of a prophecy that was given by prophet Isaiah. He says, "For unto us, you and me, a child is born. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Powerful. I would say the whole essence of Christmas, along with John chapter 1 verse 14, they go hand in hand. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Unto us a child is born, meaning that God had to submit to the process of birth. Unto us a child is born, it took 9 months. Right? 9 months for that baby to be born. Unto us a son is given. It took 4,000 years for that prophecy to be fulfilled. A son took longer than just a baby. Isn't that amazing? We're talking about God releasing his own son to become the Lord and Savior that we know today. The process. He became human. And he dwelt among us. I still have it. Hallelujah. We're going to get that figured out at some point. In the 1990s, there was this song by, I don't know who would know this song. I knew this song when I was in England, by Bette Midler. People are like, who? Yeah. This song by Bette Midler by a called From a Distance. From a Distance. Jesse knows that. He knows that song. You're that old, Jesse. From a distance, God is watching us. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. From a distance, God is watching us. But there's something terribly wrong about this. Beautiful song, but there is something terribly wrong because it talks about a God that is in a distance. In a distance. That's not the God that you and I, we know. Because here, from what we're reading, unto us a child is born, and he dwelt among us. Unto us a son is given, and he dwelt among us. I would much rather know Jesus as Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. I think this is the essence of knowing Christ. Not just that he's in a distance, far away, watching over us. No, he's right here, right now, in you, watching over you. Isn't that much better? This is his name. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to make his dwelling among us. He was not this distant God that left us way back in Genesis, did not make the journey all the way through with us. He did. He gave us his word, and his word carried us through many situations in our life. Can we attest to that? Can we say that the Word of God in our life kept us going? The Word of God in our life kept everything intact in our life. We were going insane. We were going crazy. But thank God for His saving grace. He came. He kept our marriage together. He kept our life together. He kept the lights on in this building. He did it all because Christ is in us, is among us. He's not just watching from a distance. He's right here. He's right now here, right here with us. What a beautiful thing. What an amazing thing to actually realize that the Son of God Himself is right here with us. In our home when we're sitting down and we're having family time, Christ is there with us. Maybe we better watch out what we do. Even then, right? Because Christ, the Son of God, is right there with us. The most powerful word this Christmas, friends, that we can say to God is, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, God. Let it be done in me. Do it in me. The challenges that you're bringing to my life right now, which I know it's coming from you because you're trying to get me out of this area that I'm comfortable. And today for Christmas, I'm actually saying yes to it. I'm okay with the challenge because I know you are here with me. That your word says that you will never leave me, that you will never forsake me. You are Emmanuel, God with me. So when we say yes to God, many things would happen, okay? The number one thing that would happen is you'll get access to His grace. You'll get access to the grace of God. In verse John 1 verse 16, it says this. It's talking about Jesus there. The Gospel of John paints a different picture completely than the other Gospel, but it is so profound. And John says it this way, says, and of His fullness, of Jesus' fullness. Fullness meaning abundance or overflow. Out of His overflow, we have all received grace for grace. An abundance of grace. A never-ending flow of grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace has a name. Grace has a name. His name is Jesus. It's Jesus. In Ephesians Chapter 2, he says, for by grace you have been saved, not of yourself, so that no one can boast. Because it's a gift. It's a gift. You cannot work for it. You don't deserve it. And you certainly cannot pay for it. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. When you say yes to Jesus, that grace is made available to you. You have direct access directly to Him, and you also have direct access to His grace. Not just His saving grace. Not just the saving grace of God when we say yes to Christ, but we're also talking about the enabling grace of God. The grace of God that takes you beyond what you can do in your own natural strength. The grace of God that comes in you that allows you to forgive someone who's hurt you. The grace of God that comes in and empowers you to fulfill the call and the destiny that God has for you. Because in your own strength, you can't do it. But with the grace of God, you can. You can push forward. It is that same grace that found you in the deepest, darkest pit that pulled you out. But it is also that same grace that will cleanse you and make you whole again. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you that once you give your life to Christ, you would live a stress-free life. Merry Christmas. I wish I could tell you that. But that would not be true. That will not be true. You would need to rely on the grace of God to keep you going. You would need His grace. So by saying yes to God, you're saying yes once and for all for your salvation. But you're also saying yes to the enabling, empowering grace of God so that you can live a life that is fulfilled, that is empowering, so that you can accomplish the task that seems impossible to you now in the natural. But guess what? It is impossible in the natural. It is. Otherwise, if it is possible for you to do everything, why do you need God? Why do you need His grace? If you can forgive anybody who hurt you, why do you need the grace of God? If you are blameless yourself, why do you need the grace of God? Because that same grace that you need, you also need to extend to others. We call it cut somebody some slack. That's grace. When you're not judgmental about everything, that's grace. When you cut your pastor some slack for not getting it all together, that's grace. I can flow with some grace. Because I don't have it all together. I might look like I have it, but I don't. That's a reality because I'm just like you. If you cut me, I'll bleed. Just like you. It's the same. Grace flows the same way. The more we receive, the more we are empowered to give it out. The more we can quickly forgive. The more that we can quickly move on, the more that we can actually do those impossible tasks that God has for us. Number two, your yes gives you access to God's wisdom, to God's stature, and to God's favor. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and all people. Jesus grew in favor, in stature, and in wisdom. If Jesus grew in those things, how much more do we need to grow ourselves in those things? It's true for us as well. We can grow with God in wisdom, in stature, and in favor. Why would anybody say no to God? Why would anybody say no to God if saying yes gives you access to His wisdom? I believe only a fool will say no to God. I believe only a fool will say there is no God. If saying yes gives you access to the full wisdom of God, the creator of everything, I'll say yes to God. In Proverbs 2, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." It comes from God. The Lord gives wisdom. And then he says, "From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." It comes from God. It comes from God. How many times do we rely on our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own understanding, and then we fail? Then we run to God. Lord, fix it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. What if we start with God? What if we start right with God? The moment there is something that is not working right, we just run to Him and say, Lord, you promise. You promise that you will give us wisdom. You will give us knowledge and you will give us understanding on how to do it. I'm learning. I'm learning how to do this. I'm learning how to do this first time so that I don't mess up. The moment I don't understand how to do something, help me, Jesus. That's all. It's like, yes, Lord, yes. I get it. There's something there that I don't fully understand. I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to your wisdom. Why would anyone say no to God? If saying yes gives you access to his stature. Isn't that amazing? When you think about how big God is. By you saying yes, you get access to this, to his stature. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. Isn't that amazing? When we say yes to God, it's like we belong to him now. He says, but you belong to him, my dear children. You have already won a victory. That's powerful. When you realize that you belong to God, you would realize that you have already won a victory over those people. Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. When you say yes to God, you no longer walk in your own stature. That's something that I can say hallelujah to. I'm a man of very small stature. But when I've said yes to God, guess what I've said yes to? I've said yes to his stature. All of a sudden, the Goliath does not look that intimidating to me anymore. The problems, no matter how big they might be, because I'm not just operating in my own stature, I can look down and say, you are defeated. Greater is he who is in me than he that lives in the world. I can say this because I've embraced his stature. I've taken on not my little bitty stature, but I've embraced the stature of God. That's the way that I see myself. I see myself as a child of God. When you see yourself as a child of God, who is this fool that is out there that is accusing you? See, you can afford to talk like this. You can be sassy with the enemy. You know what I mean? You can be sassy with the enemy because you can challenge him at this point. You can challenge him when he's coming and attacking your family. You can challenge him when he's coming and attacking your marriage, your children. You can challenge him because you are not operating in your own stature. You're operating in the stature of God. You're no longer operating in your own wisdom. You are operating in the wisdom of God. You know what to say. You know when to say it. You know when to hold your tongue. Because you're operating in the wisdom of God. It's not coming from you. It's not coming from any human. It's coming from God himself. Emmanuel, God in you. I want you to realize this Christmas. Because this is probably the most important thing to know this Christmas is to know Jesus. When you know him, you know who you are and whose you are. You no longer walk in your own stature, but in the stature of God. And the other one is his favor. His favor. Why would anyone say no to God if saying yes gives you access to the favor of God? The fog, Jesse, the favor of God. What would we do without the favor of God? In Psalm 5:12, it says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Those who are standing with God. The righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. I believe when Mary said, "Be unto me according to your word," by saying yes, she was surrounded with God's favor. That word that came, that manner of greeting that came in from the angel when said, "Blessing, blessed are you, highly favored woman." Remember, she responded, she said, "What manner of greeting is that?" She didn't fully get it, but I believe she got it afterwards. She didn't quite understand why. Why would some stranger, an angel, show up at her door and say, "Highly favored woman, you're going to be blessed." She didn't fully get it until she was in that process of accepting the calling by saying yes to God. When we say yes to God, he surrounds us like a shield with favor. It's like wherever you go, you cannot help it. You bounce against the favor of God. Everything that you do prospers because guess what? You are operating in the favor of God. You are no longer doing things in your own strength because you are doing it in the full knowledge, the full wisdom of God. No big problem can intimidate you because guess what? You are no longer operating in your own stature. You're operating in the stature of God. You are recognizing now that, man, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And that's it. That is it. And number three, and that's the last point, and I've saved that because it's sweet. It's like the first one was like the appetizer. The second one was like the main course. And here, Jesse, we're getting ready for something sweet. The cream, or in French, I wrote it down in French, la crème. La crème. It's sweet. And I've got something sweet for you. I used that same analogy last Christmas. And as I'm preparing this message, it's like, I don't know if it was Oreo that we had the night before that kind of, God uses everything, but I remember we had some Oreo the night before that, and the picture of this Oreo came up, since we're in church and we want to be very spiritual and all and very theologically sound, I thought this would be appropriate that we end this message with a sweet thing. How many of you believe that God has a dream for your life? I believe that. I believe God has a dream for my life. It's called his calling. A calling. God has a calling on your life. A calling. It's a dream. A calling to be whatever. You fill in the blank, whatever it is. But when you say yes to God, guess what? That calling is revealed. You might not know why you were here. Why? I mean, that's a good question to ask God. What am I doing here? What am I doing in 2021 in Kodiak, Alaska? Why was I born? By saying yes to God, guess what? That calling is revealed. You get to know why you're here. I think that's a good thing to know, right? Wouldn't you agree? Why am I here? Unfortunately, many of us, even though we know why we're here, we know that God has this dream for our life, and we We simply live in that dream. We live in that dream. We know that God has a calling in my life to, write a book. Okay? But I live in that dream and never do anything about it. Would that book ever be written? Probably not. I live in the dream, in the calling, but never see it come to pass. Now I'm going to use a different word. Destiny. How many of you believe that God has a destiny for your life? I believe so. I believe so. I believe God has a destiny for your life. It's called purpose. A purpose. The purpose. The very thing that you were born to do. It's not just the dream, the calling. It's the purpose. If I'm a father, what's the purpose of being a father? What's the purpose of being a father? So if we look at a cookie, let's put that cookie up. I would say the top layer of an Oreo is the dream. The dream, the calling. I would say the bottom layer of that Oreo is the purpose, the destiny. Now, I don't know how you eat your Oreo. I've seen some weird things being done to an Oreo. But I want you to know this morning that God has baked a cookie for you. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. I would say the most important part of that Oreo is the middle part. That might change your theology completely. And I'm talking about your theology about eating a cookie. Some of you have some deep, I know Kyla's got some weird way of eating a cookie. I'll let him share later on because I don't approve. But he can eat his cookie any way he wants to. I believe the most important part is the middle, the cream, the la creme. That is the part where you say yes to the process. The process that God chooses. It's the link between the top layer and the bottom layer. It's the glue. It's the glue. Because saying yes to God's process, whichever way he chooses. Because remember, there was a process for Jesus to come. Because we can read about, for unto us a child was born, and unto us a son was given. Remember, there was a process that linked the two. There was a 9 months process for the birth. But there was also a 4,000-year process for the Son to be given. The process was sandwiched in the middle. And I believe God has got a process sandwiched in the middle that will connect your dream to your destiny. So this morning, would you say yes to God's process? would you say yes to God's process? Because how else would you be able to connect the dream with the destiny? How else would you be able to connect the calling with the purpose if there is no process? I believe you will never look at a cookie. A cookie. They make fun at home when I say cookie. They're like, Dad, what do you say, cookie? Anyway, maybe you won't even say the word cookie anymore. The same way, cookie. Anyway, in that sweet moment, would you please stand? Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us this morning, without leaving anybody out, because Lord, this is for everyone, including me, we all have to say yes to the process. I have to say yes to the process. And Lord, right here, right now, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I let go of anything that I've formulated in my own mind to be right. And I know that only your word establishes what is right. It's not culture. It's not news. It's not media. It's nothing. It's you, your word that establishes the truth. Lord, this Christmas, let this be a prayer. Lord, this Christmas, I submit to you, to the authority of your word. And I say yes to you. I say yes to you. Yes now, yes tomorrow. Yes, when pressures of life will come. I say yes. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. And I'll remind you to go to Iris's table for her event. And please come and be part of our ceremony, of our banquet on Friday. God bless you all, and we see you next week.